In this week's parasha, we of course have the long story, one can even say perhaps slept out story, of the finding of a wife for Yitzchak by the Eved of Avraham. It runs some 67 psukim. And Chazal tell us that Yapa Sichasen Shal Avde Obos Mitarazen Shal Banim, that the Sicha, the idle talk or the mundane talk or conversation of the Avde Yavos, of the servants of the Yavos, or is more chashiv, more important, more yafa, more beautiful than Torah Shabbanim, than the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches to the children. Because when it comes to teaching us Torah, when it comes to teaching us halacha, when it comes to teaching us mitzvos, the Torah may very well satisfy itself with a word here, a word there, a couple of short psukim requiring the Torah Shabbal Peh, the Torah Shabbal Peh to expound on it and to elaborate on it, to give us all the details that we need to fill in order to know what we really need to do. And here, the Torah gives us the story in great detail, and the Torah even tells it to us twice, once when it's actually happening, and once as the story is recounted. And the Torah does not mince any words, and does not offer us any kind of brevity at all, but rather gives everything to us in great, great detail. And clearly, there are many, many, many lessons that we can learn from every word and every detail of the story. But I'd like to focus, perhaps, on just two things that we can draw from this parasha. One is, who was this Eved Avraham? Who was this servant of Avraham, the slave of Avraham, who found a wife for Rivka? Everybody knows that it was Eliezer. But what's interesting is that Eliezer's name does not appear in the entire story, in all 67 psukim. Not once is the name Eliezer mentioned. He's referred to as the Eved of Avraham. He's referred to as the Ish, and as a shir unto itself. When is he called Eved, and when is he called Ish? But the name of Eliezer does not appear at all. And that's remarkable. Where is Eliezer? Where is his name? He's playing such an important role, and we have to understand that the role that he's playing over here is not simply finding a wife for anybody. He is finding the next aim in Klal Yisrael. He has to find Yitzchak Avinu's wife, a wife who Yitzchak could share the job of building Klal Yisrael with. It was an immensely important task that was of utmost importance and critical to the future of Klal Yisrael. And yet, he doesn't get any credit for it, at least not by the name Eliezer. And even when we finally think that he's going to be named when he is asked in the story, who is he? His response is, Eved Avraham Anochi. No name, not my name is Eliezer, but Eved Avraham, I'm the Eved of Avraham. And I think there's something very important being taught to us over here, and that is that this is what Eliezer is teaching us. He's teaching us what it means to be an Eved. Eved Avraham Anochi, I'm the Eved of Avraham. Being an Eved, you know, the word that's usually used to translate Eved is slave, and slave is a word that makes it a little bit uncomfortable, and maybe instead we should use the word servant. He was the servant of Avraham. What does it mean to be a servant? Servant is not a dirty word in our culture. We have the Chicago police are there to protect and to serve. We have the idea of public servants. Everybody in the public arena is supposed to be a servant of the people, up to and including the president. Servant. What does it mean to be a servant? To be a servant means to live for a high purpose. To be a servant means that I have a higher goal, something bigger than myself, and therefore it's not about me, and it's not about making me famous, and it's not about my own individual importance, but rather in the role. My importance lies in the role that I play for that high purpose, and there's no greater privilege than that. So Eliezer calls himself Eved Avraham. What do we call ourselves? Well, if you think about it, every time we take out a Sefer Torah, we say Baruch Shemei, words that are very similar to Eliezer's. Ana Avada Dekutcha Barichu, which translates into Hebrew, Ani Eved Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I am an Eved. I am a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Don't mention our names. There are other times in davening, like a Berachas Kohanim, where we do mention our names. But here, we simply refer to ourselves as Ana Avada de Kutcha Brichu. I am an Eved. I am a servant of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And we are making a powerful statement with that just like Eliezer saw himself as a servant of Avraham, we see ourselves as servants of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, that we live for that purpose, and that is what our lives are all about, and that there is no greater privilege than that. And a second lesson, perhaps, that we can draw from the story of Eliezer is the incredible bitachon that he had in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that the story would end well. The whole way the story is set up, clearly Eliezer is making a hishtablus of sorts in order to find the right wife for Rivka. But at the end of the day, he needs a simanah to cut from Hashem that this is the right one to be the next aim in Klal Yisrael. And that sense of understanding that no matter what I do, no matter what bitachon, no matter what hishtalos, no matter what efforts I put into a particular endeavor, the result is up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I have to place my trust in Him. And perhaps that's related to the idea of Eved as well, but I have to place my trust in Him that whatever is supposed to happen is indeed what will happen. We, Klal Yisrael, find ourselves right now in a very, very difficult situation. We find ourselves pretty much top Shiva, within the Shiva week of the burial of this terrible, terrible calamity that took place just 1 week ago, where 11 Jews were murdered, and murdered for only one reason, and that's because they were in fact Jews. And in that sense, they had to be considered Kedoshim, because they died for the fact that they were Jews. Are there differences between us and them? Surely there are differences, but I was in the airport just this past week, and a pilot, a uniformed pilot, came over to us and out of the blue said, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for your loss. I'm offering my condolences." He looked at us and them as being one and the same because he knew we were Jews and he knew they were Jews. And that is the way we have to feel. There are times when we talk about the differences, and those differences are not unimportant, and those differences are not to be swept under the rug, but then there comes a time when you dig deeper and deeper and deeper until you find the bedrock, the common bedrock that unites us all, the fact that a Jew is a Jew is a Jew is a Jew, and we have to take this loss as if it is our loss, and we are. We feel that it's our loss, we feel the pain, and we are mourning together with the Jews of Pittsburgh and together with these 11 families. But we also have to be careful not to confuse the pain that we feel for them, which is entirely appropriate, and perhaps another appropriate feeling that we may be having at the same time, and that is the fear that we have for ourselves. We look at that shul in Pittsburgh, we look at that incident that took place in Pittsburgh, and we say, it could have been us. They were attacked because they were Jews, and it was their house of worship, and we can be attacked as well because of where we daven. While this particular Nazi may have had some particular beef with this particular congregation, had they not been available, he would have found some others because he hated Jews. And it could have happened anywhere, and it could have happened to any of us. And as such, we are feeling a great deal of insecurity. And that's okay. That's normal. That's only natural. But one thing that is concerning me just a little bit is the fact that we are having all these conversations about security, appropriate conversations about security. What should we do? What should our shuls do? Should our shuls get armed guards? Should they not get armed guards? Alarm systems and practice drills and so on, and all the things that we have to do as hishtadlus to make ourselves safe. But at the end of the day, we need to know that really we cannot make ourselves safe. But derech hateva, it's almost impossible to ensure the security of ourselves and our families without building walls around us with fortress-like gun turrets and guards and so on. I mean, it's something that's completely impossible, something that's completely unrealistic. We walk the streets, our children walk the streets. That is the way we live our lives. And even if we were to carry a gun in every single pocket, we would not be able to make ourselves really secure. So what are we doing? So we're doing hishtadlus. We're doing hishtadlus, we have the conversations, we have the discussions, we implement the decisions, we do whatever is reasonably possible in the best way that we can determine that, to take steps to make ourselves more secure. But at the end of the day, like Eliezer, we have to place our complete betachon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem, we're doing our job, we're going to take the steps we need to take, we're going to do what we're supposed to do, but at the end of the day, we turn to you to make sure that we are safe and that you watch over us. We also learned from Eliezer, besides the idea of security, we learned the idea of avdus. We learned the idea of what it means to be a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And to be a servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu means to be consistent. The meaning of being a servant or being an Eved is that it is, as I mentioned before, it's not something that you do, it's something that we are. And we are that Eved 24/7, and we are that Eved both on good days and on bad days. An Eved can't say, well, I don't feel like being an Eved today, I'll be an Eved tomorrow. I was an Eved yesterday, therefore I don't need to be such a good Eved today. An Eved is an Eved, 24/7, always has to take the responsibilities of what it means to be an Eved and always to do whatever is needed and whatever is required by the one that he is loyal to. And our loyalty is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and not Avodah HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It could arguably be said we're having a bad day. We're going through a difficult time. But that difficult time in no way distracts us and in no way detracts from our status of Eved to recognize that in difficult times as in good times, we have the obligation, the responsibility to be the Torah Jews that we're supposed to be in every single circumstance that we face. So perhaps we can walk away with those two lessons. Number one, to recognize that status and that state of Avdus that we're always in, and to know that every single day, nothing really changes in that basic reality, that we get up in the morning, we wash our hands, we wash the Tilas Yadayim, as I mentioned, the letter that I sent out, and we walk out into the world that really is a basic Mikdash that's full of opportunities to serve the Ribono Shel Olam. And that's the idea of being Eved, and also to recognize that no matter what we're going through, and no matter what steps we take to deal with the challenges that we face, our ultimate salvation lies in the hands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. May be zocha to the Shemira of the Shomei Yisrael. Hashem should watch over his people and to watch over us in all the dangers that face us because there are many. And when we be zocha to soon have the coming of Mashiach, the final Geula, the final Yeshua, the final Nechama, Meher V'Yemeinu, Amen.